Welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast with Scott McKenzie. Scott is a passionate industry professional dedicated to transferring cutting-edge, industry-focused innovations and trends while highlighting the men and women who keep the world moving. So put on your hard hat, grab your work boots, and let's go.
All right, thank you very much for joining the Industrial Talk Podcast. You know that we here celebrate the human power of industry, and I'm so glad that you are able to make it. This is the next week. I can't believe another week has gone by. It goes by so fast. And if you're out there on YouTube and you're looking at my channel, you can say, hey, Scott's standing up. Yeah, I thought I'd give this a different look and try to change things up. And because I tend to be one that likes to move around, I'm not really fond of being confined to a chair. So let's get this show on the road. Thank you very much once again. And all right, man, we've got a great interview happening this week. Yeah. The gentleman's name is Jim Witt, and he is the founder of Purpose Unlimited. And I got a great story to tell you about how I came in contact with Jim and how important he is in my life as a mentor, as a dear friend. And I was so glad that he just said, hey, yeah, I'll get on your podcast. So, but before we get on with that, and before I make that introduction, let's get going on with some good stuff that we need to be aware of, okay?
Tailgate talk number one.
Okay, if you've been following the Industrial Talk Podcast, we've been talking about the Industrial Academy. And for me personally, fortunately, I come in contact with a lot of great industrial professionals, anywhere from leadership all the way through to technology and everything in between. And so what we're doing is we're creating an industrial academy that we're going to highlight, and you can go out there and you can get some training on some of the best industrial specific training out there. So it's all broken up into, let's say, leadership, finance, operations, of course, sales and marketing, which I'm so passionate about. And then the final one is technology. So please stay tuned. It's coming around.
Number two.
All right. Books, books, books. We always got to keep on learning, right? We always got to keep on learning because if you don't, your competition is going to learn. So this week's book, and I'm going to be interviewing this gentleman next week. He's going to be highlighted. His name is Steve Miller, right there. If you're out on YouTube, you can see it. Uncopyable, How to Create an Unfair Advantage Over Your Competition. Not a bad read. Easy. Number one bestseller out on Amazon. That's right. I'm going to be putting him out. He's been on the podcast. But once again, that's Uncopyable. And that is Steve Miller. Go out there on Amazon. And it's a great read. Very well done, Steve.
Number three.
All right. Food, right? All about industrial approved food. So I went to a place called Acme Oyster House. And if you've ever been to New Orleans or part of Louisiana, Acme Oyster House is a you know, restaurant that provides oysters. And then, of course, all the other Cajun, you know, South Louisiana Fair. One of the things that they have and that you've got to put on your bucket list, and that is grilled oysters. Now, you're going to say, oh, gosh, I don't like oysters. They're raw. They're this. They're that. I'm telling you right now, grilled oysters, the way to go. I'm just telling you, man. It's drenched in butter, Parmesan cheese, and whatever else magic that they put on it. But I got to tell you, if you come on down here, you need to be a part of that grilled oyster family. And there are other places, but Acme is where I've been. And I take some pictures, and it's out there. You can see it. Okay, on to the interview. Once again, the story that I have with Mr. Jim Witt here, as you can see if you're out on YouTube, I was running this company. He was the keynote speaker, and what made him so spectacular and what made him so special and what made him transform my life and put into perspective the necessity for purpose is that Purpose Unlimited, he talked about purpose, and I just realized at that time, and this was many years ago, that unfortunately, I didn't have a purpose. I didn't have really any clear distinction, so you're going to hear about Jim Witt. He's a published author. He's got a couple of books. Writing for the Brand, which is a great book. I highlighted it in my newsletter. And then the other one is, of course, this one right behind me if you're out there on YouTube. And that's Finding and Fulfilling Your Purpose in Life. And this is The Transformation. I got to read it. Transformational Power of Purpose. Great little workbook right there. I went through it. And nonetheless, that's Jim Witt. Purpose Unlimited. It's going to be a great interview. And We're going to highlight him more and more just because I believe just in business alone, you need to have that clear focus and that organization that is driving to a purpose, right? So nonetheless, this is Jim Witt, dear friend of mine, incredible individual. So enjoy, and I'll be back on the other side. All right. Welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast. Thank you very much for joining this interview. This interview comes from the heart. This interview is something that is very special to me. This gentleman has been a key motivator in my life, a mentor. And when I reached out to him, he said yes, which was quite humbling, quite frankly. And he is the founder of Purpose Unlimited, and he helps people and businesses reach their full potential. And I just want to give just this open hand gratitude there, Jim Witt. Welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast. Thank you very much for being here with us and the listeners.
Well, you just made my day with that introduction.
Thank you very much. And now we're going to wrap it up because I don't want to go downhill from here. But no. Well, we met. I can't even remember the last time. You probably have a better understanding of why you impressed or impacted my life in such a positive way is that you were the first individual that truly communicated to me about the importance of having a purpose. And then from that point on, Jim, everything that I do, everything that I try to start, everything that I contemplate starting always starts with a purpose. And I think the listener needs to know how you came about and how you started this company, Purpose Unlimited.
Well, it all started because I was searching for something. I had spent 10 years in sales with the Ralston Purina Company, working with large commercial feeding operations in the High Plains of Kansas and Oklahoma and Texas. And I was a successful salesperson. I was a top 20 producer out of a sales force of 500. And but after 10 years of that, I felt like a V8 engine that was hitting on about four cylinders. I knew I had more ability than I was using, more potential than I was using. And I didn't know what I was going to do, but I knew what I wasn't going to do anymore. So I quit my job and I went to work for another large agribusiness corporation, Central Soya, and I became their national cattle product marketing manager. And after about a year and a half, I took my product group from being the poorest performing group to having the largest percentage increase of all the product groups in a year's time. I still felt like I was a V8 engine hitting on about four cylinders. And so I didn't know what I was going to do, but I knew what I wasn't going to do anymore. So I quit my job.
Again.
Yeah, I was getting good at this. I quit my job. I was getting good at being unemployed.
I bet your wife liked that, didn't she?
Oh, well, the story gets better from here. So anyway, I came up with this idea. I called up a couple of old feed yard customers of mine, commercial feed yard customers in Kansas. And I said, hey, I've got this crazy idea. How about if I work with you guys, I'll do contract marketing work for you. And at that time, nobody had ever done this. This is back in 1988, because the industry was still only about three or four decades old and it had not completely matured yet. So these two great friends of mine that owned and ran these feed yards said, yeah, we'll give it a try. So after I quit my job, my wife loaded up our kids and drove back to Oklahoma because we were living in Indiana now and the company headquarters of Central Soya. And I discovered they do not speak Okie in Indiana. So we needed to move or we're going to have to hire an interpreter for our children. And she called me one day. I still was finishing up my tour there in Indiana. And she said she was looking for a place to live. So she stayed with her folks. And she said, Jim, she says, I think I found us a house. And I said, really? And she goes, yeah. She says, it belongs to Phyllis and Orvin. Well, Phyllis and Orvin were friends of her folks. And they had a farmhouse out in the country. And I'd never seen this farmhouse before. And I said, it was on the state line, Kansas, Oklahoma. I mean, literally on the state line. And I said, well, I don't recall this house. I said, why don't you describe it to me? And she goes, well, she said, it's livable.
Lovely.
I need some more information. I said, what are they going to charge us for rent? And she said, nothing. That answered all my questions.
The price was right. And it's livable.
Yeah. Yeah. So I jumped in my Chrysler New Yorker Fifth Avenue and drove 14 hours back to Oklahoma, spent the night with her folks. The next day we drove over to take a look at this house we're going to live in for free. When I pulled up into the yard and I saw this house, it gave new meaning to you get exactly what you pay for. And you remember the TV show Green Acres?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, this place was worse than Green Acres.
Oh, jeez. Mercy, God.
So it was an old farmhouse that had asbestos siding. I don't, Scott, do you
remember?
Oh,
yeah. That? Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. It's a lovely siding. It's lovely.
Yeah, because you remember you throw your baseball against it when you're a kid and it'd crack and fall off. And so you had a big hole there. It had a hipped roof, green shingles, half of them were blown off. And this house was so old, the roof was sagging, the porch was sagging. And when I stepped up on that porch, I was sagging too.
Oh, man.
But I'm a positive thinking person because I'd listen to Zig Ziglar.
And you can't help get pumped for Zig, man. I'm telling you, right. I understand.
So I said, it's got to be better on the inside. I was wrong. The ceiling was caving in from where the roof had leaked.
Oh, God.
It was heated with a wood-burning stove and one propane wall furnace. The plumbing was rusted. You turn on a faucet, nothing would run. And then I walked into the living room. And the living room looked like the inside of a boxcar. It was a long, narrow room. And in the middle, it had a slope in the floor. Now, anybody that ever grew up in an old farmhouse, when you added on to the farmhouse, the foundation would settle differently from the original foundation.
Right.
So what happened was, is you had this ski slope in the middle. But somebody had taken care of that. They covered up with carpet. Must have been about 1970s because it was the ugliest green and orange shag carpet you've ever seen.
Hey, you probably borrowed it from my mom. We just happened to have a couple of slabs of that.
It looked like it was designed by somebody on a bad LSD trip.
Yeah. Lovely. It is.
So anyway, as I now remember, I've quit my job to start a business that's never been done before.
Yep.
And as I'm standing on that green and orange shag carpet, the 2x4 of reality hit me square between the eyes.
Yeah.
And I thought, what in the world are you doing? You've quit your job. You're moving your wife and two kids into a shack to start a business that's never been done before. So I turned to my wife. Now, remember, she's the one that picked this house out. And I said, have you taken leave of your senses? I said, do you really want to live here? And I'll never forget what she said, Scott, because I was expecting her to say, oh, no, I was off my meds that day.
Right,
now
right.
That I'm closing in my right mind, I realize what a terrible mistake this was. But that's not what she said. She said, Jim, we can live here temporarily. Well, temporary turned into 18 months, the longest 10 years of my life. During which time I got a master's degree in Murphy's Law. Everything that could go wrong did go wrong at the worst possible time.
Yeah.
After 6 months, my business was a failure. I was also in the cattle business. I'd lost $30,000 feeding cattle. And I went into a state of depression. And I don't get depressed. I mean, I'm a positive thinking person.
You changed my life, my friend.
Well, what I went through, after what I went through, you always say, be careful what you pray for, you might get it.
Yeah.
Well, I always wanted to know what real faith was. Well, I got to find out.
Yeah.
Every morning I'd get up. I was so depressed. I'd get up and I'd ask myself two questions. Why did you do this? And how could you be so stupid?
Yeah.
Every day. And I didn't know what to do. And then one day I was sitting by the wood-burning stove and I was sorting through a bunch of old files of mine. And the ones I wanted to keep, I threw back in a box. The ones I wanted to get rid of, I threw in the fire, which kept me warm and busy. And I opened up a file folder And inside my file folder was a yellow legal sheet. And at the top was written a date, March 21st, 1988. And underneath that date was written a question: what is your purpose in life? And I recognized these as notes that I had taken from a seminar a year earlier when I was still gainfully employed. And whenever I saw those notes, my mental DVR cranked up and I had a flashback. Because when I was in the seminar and I was asked that question, here's what I thought of. I was going down the road out in Western Kansas and a young salesman was riding with me. And he was a Shark M guy, graduate of New Mexico State University. But he'd never worked in a feed yard before. And he was frustrated because you'd call on those old feed yard managers and they chew you up and spit you out. They did their very best to run you off, make sure you never called on them again.
Right.
So he looks over at me and he says, Jim, he says, I don't even know what questions to ask a feed yard manager on the first call. And I said, well, Mike, good grief. It's not that hard. I said, get out a pad and pen and start writing. And you know, this is before we have computers and laptops and everything. So right. He's writing this.
I had to write down pad and pen and I'm going, I don't know what those are. Just
right. for the younger viewers.
Yeah.
So we're going down the road and he's writing down all these questions that I'd never written down myself. And I never thought anything more of it until 2 years later when I left the company and I resigned the day they gave me my 10-year service award, my cross pen and pencil set. You remember the cross pen and pencil sets?
Cross made a living off of giving those things out, man.
Oh, he did.
Jeez.
So anyway, Mike comes up to me and he says, I want to thank you for something. And I said, well, what's that? And he says, I still have the 10 questions that Jim Witt gave me to ask a feed yard manager on the first call. And right then my mental DVR stopped and it freeze framed on his face. And I'm looking directly into Mike's eyes. And you know, the eyes are the window to the soul.
Absolutely.
And when I looked into his soul, here's what I saw. I saw the tremendous potential this young man possessed. And I thought, you know, he just needs somebody to help him get there. And I looked down at the answer that I'd written a year earlier to the question of what is your purpose in life? And I had written, my purpose is to help people reach their full potential. And right then it was as if God spoke directly to me and said, Jim, you figured it out. You know why I put you here. Focus on this and watch what happens. And Scott, it transformed my life. And I tell people, you've heard me speak because you're in the audience. You were in the audience years ago.
Absolutely.
And I tell people that they're looking at somebody, an old cowboy who grew up in the cattle business, an old feed salesman who has traveled around the world as a consultant and speaker, written 3 books, written hundreds of articles on leadership, motivation, and change. Someone who's considered to be an expert in their field. And I'm just as amazed about it as everybody else, because I really don't consider myself to be anything but an ordinary person. But ordinary people can accomplish extraordinary things when they know what their purpose in life is. And that completely transformed my life. And so for 30 years, this is what I've been doing. I discovered my purpose on March 21st, 1988. When I was 35 years, 6 months, and 16 days old. I mean, that's a red letter date on my calendar. And,
well, you know, I got to tell you there, Jim, I can't say that my story is similar, but when you came in and you spoke to the group, and I think it was in Houston, and that was a moment in time when I was just sort of, in essence, floundering. You do the things that you think you're supposed to be doing, and you just sort of go through that routine. And once again, to use your analogy, I was running probably on 4 of the 8 cylinders. And then it was that aha moment that truly, you know, it doesn't, you know, your life is not, you know, a bunch of popcorn and candy after a while. It's still work, but there is that it's different. It's different about how you view things. I don't know. And purpose has just been a big driver for me.
Well, I still remember after my presentation, you came over and sat down and we probably talked for what, half an hour?
Yeah.
Just sitting there and you started, you started pouring out your soul to me about where you were. And I mean, it's not like you weren't successful. You were president of an international company.
Yeah.
And, but you knew that you weren't fulfilling your purpose in life.
No.
And so what you did, as I recall, I gave you a copy of Riding for the Brant.
Yep.
One of my books, the Power of Purposeful Leadership. And you actually read it.
If you're out on the YouTube channel looking at it, here's the book right there.
No, that's my other book.
No. You're getting there. That's one of them. That's just, how important it is, like the transformation of power of purpose. And I went through this book too as well. It was just easier to grab as opposed to the other one.
Oh, well, here, I happen to have Riding for the Brant right
Boom.
Here.
So Boom, there it is. If you're out on the YouTube, there it is right there, and you got the other one here.
Yeah. So, you know, the thing about it is you're really a poster child for the processes that I've developed. You're a testament, and I tell people that I can't tell you what your purpose in life is, but I'll give you a shovel and tell you where to dig. And that's where I wrote this book. That's the process. If you want to discover your purpose in life, you work your way through that book and you're going to discover your purpose. The only prerequisite is that you have to be looking for it. You have to be seeking it. And of course, if you seek, you'll find. And so I tell people that I can't tell you what your purpose is, but I will give you a shovel, tell you where to dig, and you have to find it. You don't define it. You were created with that purpose. And when you discover what your purpose is, your life becomes electric. And yep. Look at you. Look at what you're doing today compared to when I met you.
Yeah, that's been a journey, hasn't it?
Yeah. Now, would you have dreamed that you'd be doing what you're doing today?
No, heavens no. Heavens no.
It wasn't on your radar screen, was it?
No. You know what's interesting about it there, Jim, was the fact that I was sitting in the car, and I was just driving, and I said, yeah, I could do... I like the people within the industry. I love what they do. I think it transforms people's lives, yet I can't find a podcast that has anything to do that highlights and really elevates that profession to what it needs to be. And yeah, who would have thought that here I am chatting with you on a podcast? It blows my mind. But I'm going to have to break right now, and I hate to do this there, Jim. You're listening to the Industrial Talk Podcast. We're going to go into how the power of purpose not only impacts the individual, but from a company perspective, and why you, as an industrial professional, need to really listen to this gentleman talk about it, because it will change your life. So stay tuned. We will be right back. Thank you once again for listening to the Industrial Talk Podcast.
You're listening to the Industrial Talk Podcast Network.
All right, the Industrial Talk Podcast has a new sponsor by the name of ASG Energy. Now, this company helps private companies as well as public organizations of all sizes reduce energy costs through the use of commercial LED lighting technology and electrical services. Now, you know me. I'm a big fan of LED just because, well, first off, I don't have to change the lights, but on a commercial basis, oh my gosh, the energy savings is phenomenal. The reduction in maintenance costs, phenomenal. Return on investment, quick. It's incredible. And the environmental benefits, self-explanatory. So you have any questions about LED commercial lighting, you need to check out my friends at ASGEnergyLLC.com. Find out more, because they know what they're doing, so check them out. All right, welcome back to the Industrial Talk Podcast. I've got Jim Witt on the horn here. He's joining the Industrial Talk Podcast, and he's sharing with us the power of purpose and how it's changed my life. And I guarantee you, as a listener, you need to listen to this guy, because he is he can help you. And that's not just from a personal perspective, but also from a company perspective. And I think that once you find that purpose, once you find that set a God-given noble purpose, nothing stops you. So, Jim, let's start venturing into how we can get some tangible action out of this, some content that the listeners can truly benefit from, and how that power of purpose can really, in essence, transform businesses.
Well, let's start by addressing your listeners that are in the industrial world out there. You know, a lot of times we think of industrials being blue collar type of jobs, right?
Uh-huh.
You mm-hmm. got to stay with me.
Mm-hmm. As I take a swig when you give me a question, and I'm like, oh, God, he asked me a question while when I'm trying to clear my throat. Yes, go ahead.
And I'm going to share a story out there because I think way too often we think of jobs as we've got these low-level jobs out there that really it's just kind of grunt work. And then we've got these high-level jobs out here, you know, where all the white-collar people work, and that these people up here are important and these people down here aren't important.
Yeah.
And I want to share a story with you because I was asked to speak for a National Trade Association a few months ago. So I've got the CEO and a couple of his senior staff members on the phone with me. And of course, I always call them up and we do our, you know, pre-program prep before I ever want to speak. So my parting question was, is what do you want your people walking out of the meeting after they've heard me speak? What do you want them thinking? And I mean, he said immediately, he says, I want them to believe and understand that what they do is important. And I thought, you know, that is powerful right
yeah.
there.
Yeah, that's good.
What if everybody in every organization understood and believed that what they do is important? What kind of an impact would that have? It would be huge. So, you know, I went and I spoke and I shared this story with him about my friend Kent Stromer. Now, Kent grew up in Southwest Kansas and his dad was in the manure business. And what his company did is they'd go and they'd scrape these pens in feed yards. They'd load it up on trucks. They'd take it out and they'd spread it in farmers' fields. So Kent grew up working in the manure business doing that all of his life. Then he went off to college. And so when he goes to college, he's starting to think about, well, what am I going to do with the rest of my life? Well, during the summer, he'd come back and work in the family business again. And he said one day he got to thinking about what he was doing. And he thought, you know, I'm not just out here hauling and spreading manure. He said, I'm helping feed the world. Now you think about that.
Yeah.
That's an epiphany. Because when they scrape those pens, what happens is you take mud and manure out of the pens. The cattle are in a better environment. They perform better. You take the manure, you spread it on the fields. It's the most perfect fertilizer that you can have. You're putting organic material back out on the field. So you increase yields on the crops. So that is the ground floor of the food business right there. So Kent came to the realization that he was feeding the world, not just hauling manure. He's feeding the world. Now, let's ask the same question for everybody that's listening to this podcast out there. What if you could help everybody in every job in your organization understand that they're not just out there turning wrenches and
running equipment, you know, whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. But what they're doing is actually important. And so what I did, and by the way, Kent on that day determined that he would not do anything in his life that was unimportant. Now that's critical for a young man that's just a college. But, you know, years ago, I'd have people that would, call me on the phone, or I'd have the conversation with them on an airplane, you know, what do you do?
Yeah.
And I would explain to them how I help create purpose-driven organizations. And they had no idea what I was talking about. Because, you know, the purpose of business is to make money. You know, we got to reduce expenses, raise revenue, you know, use all of the corporate lingo, right?
Right.
But, you know, what do people care about? So I'd start telling them how I helped create purpose-driven organizations. They just didn't get it. So I thought, you know, I've got to figure out some way to help them understand this. So that's why I wrote this book. And it's Writing for the Brand, The Power of Purposeful Leadership, which you've read, of course.
Oh, absolutely.
And it's a Western that takes place 30 years into the future. And what I did is I wrote an allegory about how this rancher who's going broke in Oklahoma discovers his purpose in life is to feed a hungry world. And he builds an organization that recruits partners to partner with him in his purpose. And he builds the world's most successful organization by doing this. And there's four principles involved in that. The first one is purpose. If you can't, if no one in your organization can tell me what the purpose is, word for word, then you don't have one. If nobody can tell me what the purpose is, you don't have a purpose.
And that's at the organizational level.
At the organizational level. Gotcha. And by the way, you can do this at the departmental level as well.
Absolutely.
Number two, you're not going to achieve anything of greatness by yourself. You have to have partners in that. So the second principle is partnering. The third principle is pioneering. And, you know, you were talking about something before we went on the air. We were talking about change. Everybody is dealing with change and struggling with change. And so that means we have to be in a perpetual situation of pioneering. We have to pioneer new ways. We have to play what if, what if, what if, what if. We have to be constantly pioneering. And the fourth principle is profit. If we know what our purpose is and we have people that want to be partners in our cause and we pioneer with them, guess what's going to happen? And the exciting thing about it is you're going to build a company that becomes a people magnet, where people want to come to work for you because they want more out of their work than just a paycheck and a pension and benefits. They want to be partners in a cause that is heroic, adventurous, and idealistic. And, you know, in the old West, if you went to work for a ranch and you did your work well and you were loyal to the ranch, and if need be, you fought for the ranch, then the highest compliment you could ever be paid is you ride for the brand. And so what I help organizations do is create a culture where people want to ride for their brand.
How long does something like this, I mean, a company might be listening right now, or a manager or a director or VP, whatever, might be listening to the podcast right now. What would be the first step? Because that makes sense. Don't get me wrong. It makes sense. It's that sustainability. Is that the purpose and driving that purpose start at the top?
Oh, absolutely. If the owner or the CEO or the department head or whoever else, if they don't believe in it, who else is going to believe in it?
Yeah.
They have to be the ones that say, okay, this is what we're going to do. The second thing that you have to understand is organizational development is not an event. It's not going to a seminar. It's a process. You have to work on it every day, every day, every day. And so what I do with clients is I introduce them to a process, which again is outlined in my book, Writing for the Brand. And engaging them in that process, we look 30 years into the future. And we ask the question is, well, actually I ask them to look 30 years into the past first, because if you look back 30 years ago, how many changes have we experienced in the last 30 years? You wouldn't be doing this podcast 30 years ago. My technology did not exist. So I ask them to look 30 years into the future, because if you do your planning 3 to 5 years, well, that's nothing. And that's why I always tell people that if your idea of strategic planning is 3 to 5 years, remember that all of those companies that were too big to fail, that failed in 2008, had entire strategic planning departments, and they all went over the edge of the cliff at the same time.
They did.
Because they really weren't planning for the future. They were just trending. They were simply continuing to do what they had done in the past, only more so, which meant it just drove them off the cliff faster. So real change takes a generation to achieve. So I asked them to look 30 years into the future and say, okay, what's the future going to look like? Then the next question is, what are we going to have to look like if we're going to be part of that future? And then the final thing is what are we going to have to do to get there? And that's the whole process that helps them identify what the purpose is, what the vision is, what the values are, everything that goes into what do we have to do to create this company of the future.
But what's interesting, and this is a common problem within, okay, I'm going to touch upon millennials, touch upon workforce, and I think the reality is that people do want to work for a company that has a noble purpose, right? Who is driven by something bigger than the company and has that type of a future look. But the problems that I see, and this is at the company level, is that everybody looks quarterly, right? Yeah. You're looking at even a year look out, a 2 year look is challenging when every time you're looking at your business from a quarterly perspective. How do you change that?
Well, as you know, publicly held corporations' idea of long range planning is 90 days.
Yep.
Because they're driven from quarter to quarter, and it's all based on what a stock analyst projections is of their stock. So they're trying to hit a number, which is a terrible way to run a business. Because what if you overshoot the number, then guess what? Your stock goes up. If you undershoot the number, your stock goes down. But you're only talking about 3 months, 4 months. Well, actually 3 months. There's four quarters there. So you have to reach out and say, look, we're talking about what the next generation is going to look like. Now, you and I both know companies that do that to some degree. They're public or they're privately held companies. Cargill, for example, or Coke, for example. You know, they don't look at it from just a 90-day perspective. They look at it long term. Both of those companies are pretty successful. So I try to get all of my clients to do exactly the same thing. Go 30 years into the future, stand there, look back, and say, oh, this is what the future looks like. Now let's build a bridge from here back to there and then work our way forward.
Do you ever have to have that conversation, Jim, with that big thinker CEO person that's saying, and have that conversation saying, you're not getting it? That's a tender conversation.
Well, and Scott, here's what I learned. The great thing about writing my book, Writing for the Brand, is when someone says, well, what will you do for us if we hired you as a consultant? I said, read this book. If they don't read the book, it disqualifies them. If they read the book and I get a lukewarm response from them, then it disqualifies them. If they read the book and they say, you know what, I read what you wrote and that's the kind of company I want to create, then I say, we got a place that we can talk. So I've learned to qualify my clients. Scott, I'm not for everybody. There are some people that think I'm a heretic. Yeah. You know, I show up and speak at meetings carrying a rope and a shock collar, wearing a cowboy hat. I'm not for everyone. I'm only for those people that really want to do something that is radically different than what we've done in the past. And that's for any company to succeed in the future, they are going to have to do things radically different than they've done in the past. You know that because that's what you're doing in your consulting business.
Yeah. Yeah. And you bring up a good point there, Jim, that the reality is that even back 10 years ago, I don't think change happens as rapidly as change is happening today. And in the industrial world, as I look at it, the technology is blistering fast. Things are changing more with less, whatever it might be. And more so than ever, you can lose track of what is important in your company because you're just constantly trying to keep up with the latest and greatest. And I think it's more important today than it has ever been. And I think you've got to be grounded in something that is drives you in such a way that it's above the noise, because there's a lot of noise out there. And if you're not willing to commit to that is a challenge. And I think it's a blue ocean out there for you.
Well, fortunately, you know, I was doing purpose when purpose wasn't cool. You know, back before Dan Pink wrote Drive, or before Simon Sinek wrote his.
Yeah.
I say Drive, they're a great book.
Yeah.
And that book, actually, that's validation for everything that I've been doing for 30 years.
Yep.
And Dan Pink has done a great job of distilling that all down from a research perspective.
Yep.
And thank God for people like him and Simon Sinek that, you know, yep, start with. And it's now purpose is popular. I read an article the other day about the CEO of Weight Watchers. And the lady's name, and I forget it right now, but she has created a purpose-driven culture at Weight Watchers. And that's what I want to see happen. I want to see a world where every organization is driven by a purpose that is positive, powerful, simple, and serving. And I want to see every individual that comes to work in that organization not only want to partner in that purpose, but I want those individuals to discover what their purpose in life is. And when you connect the dots between those two things, you have engagement. And now all of a sudden, performance goes up, morale goes up, absenteeism goes down, sabotage goes down, turnover goes down. Everything that should go up goes up, but it's a byproduct of creating that culture. And millennials, you bring up millennials. Everybody complains about millennials. And, you know, when my generation was the young generation, guess what? The older generation complained about us. That's just what people do about succeeding generations.
Yep.
Here's the cool thing about millennials. Millennials get purpose. You know, they're not just driven by how much money they can make, or they're not looking to go to work for an organization just so they can get a gold watch after they retire.
Yeah.
They're there because they want to make a difference. So if you create a purpose-driven culture, and you can tell them specifically what that purpose is, and they say, hey, I want to be your partner in that cause, guess what? You'll attract all the millennials that you want. And those millennials are sharp.
Oh. Their ability to process information and make decisions and move forward is staggering fast.
Yeah, we have to learn technology from them because, you know, we're old dogs. They're young dogs.
Yeah, absolutely. Hold on to that thought. We're going to be wrapping it up. Stay tuned. We're going to wrap this conversation up with Jim Witt. We're talking about purpose. And, you know, one of the things that I always remember, Jim, and because of you, I never thought of it this way, but I always refer to Mother Teresa. And her sole purpose was to love the unlovable, right? And she changed the world.
She did.
She just changed the world. And there's plenty of examples out there. And it was definitely the giving of yourself in such a way that you just change yourself. So anyway, hang tight, everyone. Appreciate it. You're listening to the Industrial Talk Podcast. We will be right back. Hey, once again, this is Scott McKenzie with Industrial Talk. If you like what you're listening to, please feel free to sign up for the free podcast as well as the blogs. I'll try to keep it all relevant to your business and hopefully be able to provide some insight into what we do at Industrial Talk and what you do as a professional. Hope to see you soon. Thank you. All right, welcome back to the Industrial Talk Podcast. Thank you very much for being with us, and we're talking with Jim Witt. He's got some books out there. He's got some stuff, and we're going to wrap this segment up. Jim, I am so moved by your purpose, by what you do, and your, I guess, just energy to be able to continue to communicate the necessity for purpose. And then you have, of course, the programs and all that. So the listener out there wants to get a hold of you. Tell me how they can get a hold of you, Jim.
Well, they can go to purposeunlimited.com or they can go to jimwitt.com, and either one of them will get us there. I can give you a phone number if you want a phone number, or
just as long as you answer those emails if they come your way. And I think you're out on LinkedIn too as well.
Yeah, I'm on LinkedIn. I'm on Facebook. They can follow me on Facebook, LinkedIn. I post a quote a day, which you see on there all the time.
Yep.
And I'm not as prolific as Scott McKenzie at posting on LinkedIn. You're who I want to be whenever I grow up on LinkedIn. It's like, I open up LinkedIn and it's like Scott McKenzie is the first thing that I see.
I'm competing against other companies. I'm trying to be noticed. And I think we've got a message that needs to be communicated at all times. I'm passionate about you industrial leaders out there. But nonetheless, you've got two books, right? You've got Writing for the Brand, which is a great read, by the way.
Yeah.
I cover to cover, and I think I read it in a day.
It's designed that way.
Yeah.
It's an airplane book. You go on a trip on an airplane, take this with you, you'll have it read by the time you get back. And Scott, you know, the thing that I would do is I know that we've got just a little bit of time here. I want to share a story. The other day I got a call from a young man who works for an insurance company, and he used to work for another insurance company that I had spoken to and done work with several years ago. And not only did I speak there, but I actually came in and I gave them the process of helping their people discover their purpose in life. And he told me, he says, I'm no longer the company. He says, I want you to know, he says, have you gotten feedback from the impact that you had on our company? He says, after we went through your process, he said, we had people that discovered their purpose and they actually left the company because it wasn't a good vehicle for them. And he said, it was good for them and it was good for the company because we had other people that said, hey, this is a great vehicle for me. And he says, and that impacted me. He said, because I discovered my purpose in life, which is to have a positive impact on the lives of other people. And he told me that just on the phone. Scott, I hadn't talked to this guy in, it's probably been 10 years since I spoke to their company. But I thought, how powerful is that? That he remembers what happened 10 years ago, the impact that it had on his company, his people, and in his personal life. And now the new company that he's with, he says, I've got to have you come in here and talk to us. And Scott, I'll bring it right back to whenever I met you. And of course, the reason that you and I met was because I asked the people at Westway, I said, who can I use for a steer in my roping demonstration?
The ugliest guy. There he is. He looks like a steer.
And they said, oh, we have the perfect candidate. His name is Scott McKenzie.
Yeah, I'm a legend. An ugly legend, yes, but I'm a legend.
And you probably still remember when I drug you up on stage. Of course, you were completely unaware of it.
It was a very important time in my life, no doubt.
But I think about that because that was a seminal moment in your life.
Yep.
Because when you walked off that stage and you sat down and you started talking to me, you may have not known what you were going to do, but you started telling yourself, I'm not going to do what I'm doing anymore.
Yep.
Because you knew you weren't fulfilling your purpose there. Yep. Scott, you and I need to create more Scott McKenzie's out there.
Hopefully. We do. I agree.
Now, I understand that'll drive a lot of people crazy, but
bunch of ugly guys running around there, but they have a heck of a purpose.
But the thing about it is if we can do for other people what you discovered and what I've discovered, and we can turn those people loose in organizations, we will transform lives, we will transform leaders, and we will transform organizations.
I'll tell you what, listeners, you've got to contact Jim Witt. It was a moment in my life that gave me clarity of where I'm still fulfilling that purpose, whatever it might be right now. And it changes over time, right? It could change over time.
Well, I tell people this: purpose is your destination in life. It doesn't change. Your vehicles do.
Yes. There you go.
And your podcast is a vehicle. Well, you didn't have that vehicle 5 years ago. So, you know, when you created Leaf Services, you didn't have that vehicle, but you created that. So your vehicles are going to continually change. Your business model has to change. Your purpose remains the same.
All right, listeners, you got to get in contact with Mr. Jim Witt here. You got to get his books. They're out on Amazon, right?
They're on Amazon.
The Transformation, The Power of Purpose, that's a great book too. Writing for the brand and this one too, the work.
I'll tell you real quick. If you get both of the books,
yeah,
but read Writing for the Brand first.
Yes,
because when people get to the end of Writing for the Brand, and I debrief it with leadership groups, and I'd ask them what the theme was, and I thought, well, they tell me it's about creating a purpose-driven organization. They always said it's about discovering your purpose in life, and I thought after they read that book, they were examining their own life.
Yeah,
and so if they read that first. And if they get it, then you go to the Transformational Power of Purpose. You're ready to start the process of discovering your purpose in life. And I'll make a bold promise, is if you want to know what your purpose is and you go through the process that I've outlined in that book, you will discover it. And when you discover it, your life will become electric. You'll be like Scott McKenzie.
You're fantastic, Jim. That is an absolutely incredible testament. So get out there. Do not hesitate. Get those books, Writing for the Brand, And they transformation, power of purpose, got to do it, make it happen. You can change yourself and you can change your company. You can transform it into something that is much bigger, grander, and fulfilling that purpose. So, Jim, thank you very much. Really appreciate it. I know you're a busy man. I know you are.
Oh, pleasure, Scott. I can't think about anything I'd rather be doing right now than talking to you on this podcast.
Thank you very much. I think the listeners appreciate it. And thank you very much for joining the Industrial Talk podcast. We will be right back, and I'll wrap it up with another glowing recommendation for Jim Witt. So stay tuned.
You're listening to the Industrial Talk Podcast Network.
All right, you industrial leaders out there, that was Jim Witt, a dear, dear friend of mine. And you're saying to yourself, hey, I'm looking at you on YouTube out there, and you got that video going on, and I see that you got a dog. Yeah, I brought my dog to work today. He is the podcast pooch. His name is Benny. And all he does is I pad the seat just because I got to take care of him. Here he is. Look at him. He's a mutt, but he's just a lovely mutt. So anyway, you know how to get a hold of me. That's industrialtalk.com. We're out there on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram. We're going to be highlighting food, of course, highlighting books. We're going to be promoting some the best leaders that are in the industrial space. And I'm so doggone thankful that, once again, you joined. You got to go out, get connected with Jim Witt, and make him a part of your whatever your what you're doing. Individually, company, get a hold of that guy. Because he will make you a better company. He will make you a better person and highlight that necessity for a purpose. So thank you again. I will be contacting you next week. Steve Smith right here. We're going to be interviewing him. Uncopyable. Number one bestseller. Get him on out there. So thank you very much and have a great week and be safe, okay?